Blog Talk Radio.
Well, good afternoon, everyone. My name is Dr. David Orman, and you're listening to another 9 to Fine show with
Lisa Lytle. Welcome, everyone.
I forgot to add the with.
The with, yes. I was waiting. I wasn't sure if you were introducing the show name or me.
Well, today's topic is kind of unusual because it gets a lot of press, and I think in the process gets a lot of misunderstanding and limitation would be the word. And today's topic is meditation. I almost said medication. Meditation. How to go about doing it in simple ways and how it can have a huge impact on your life. And I know you've been involved with meditation, Lisa, for quite some time. What has been your experience with it?
Well, I find that there are, for me, two things that I would consider for me great ways to approach meditation. One, I do have what I would consider a small, quiet space. One might call it an altar, one might just call it a peaceful corner. But it's a corner in my house that's very peaceful. I can look out into the woods and I can just sit there. I can light a candle or just sit and be quiet. So that's my space. So it is a specific space I set aside just for meditation. I think that's really key and really important for me, at least to create an environment that says, when I'm sitting in this space, I'm here to just quiet my mind. And it's just a wonderful experience. And the second thing is running. For me, running meditation, some people would do walking meditation. I do running meditation. And for me, when I run, I'm not one of the runners that runs with a watch and gear and headsets and listening to the latest download. I am tech free. I don't wear watches. I don't wear music. I just go out. I'm in nature. I listen to the birds, and it is my time to be quiet again. And through the running, it kind of just not only tires me out, but if my brain is going a mile a minute, it tires my brain out because I start to become more interested in the nature around me, which quiets my mind, quiets my thinking. And so those are the two things, sitting meditation and then a moving meditation.
My experience with it is has been a little bit different. I first kind of studied it, which is sort of odd because it's not something you could study. It's something that you really do and what you participate in, and something that's participatory, not an intellectual exercise. And I, of course, got introduced from the Edgar Cayce stuff, the Edgar Cayce material. And I would diligently set aside, 15 minutes, 10 minutes, and just do my best to clear my mind. I did that for a decade. And at the end, I'm staring at the wall one day thinking, what? I did this for like 10 years, 12 years. This is, like, not going anywhere for me. I know you're not supposed to think that way, but I don't care. This was me, I wanted to do it my way. And I followed somebody else's way, and it really, I can't say it had any benefit whatsoever. In fact, it got to be the point where it was a have to do and not something I was looking forward to doing. And then I came across somebody who would eventually become a good friend of mine, Stephen Russell, who talked about meditation in a much different way. He talked about it in daily process of what is referred to as going to the back. And what that means is the front of the brain, the forehead-ish area, is where life's dramas and theater play out. And it's also where all our internal dialogue consistently goes or consistently occurs. So when you're, driving down the road and you're carrying on a conversation inside your head, or you're, meta commenting on things, or you have that song that's stuck in your head that you can't get rid of, and you don't even like it, that's where it's playing in the front. And simply with a breath, moving your awareness from the front to the spine area, and literally in less than a second, you go from beep, 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 beep to instant calm and instant quiet. Then all of a sudden, the drama, the theater, oh, that was so important, I can't believe they did this or didn't do this or should have done, all of that, you begin to see it for what it really is, which is basically, you know what to do. And I don't mean to be flippant about it, but it really is so unimportant. And you get to see your own life from, it's almost like you're what it reminds me of? There's a beautiful city in the valley, and there are a couple of mountains. And when you're in the valley, and you're walking the road, or you're running the road, or you're driving on the road, you have one perspective, but only one perspective. But all of a sudden, you climb up the mountain, you get quiet, and you look down, and you see it in a much different light. And sometimes this happens to me at nighttime. You know, during the day, it's all hectic and bustling, and then go out for a run at night, and all you see is stillness. Or early morning, like 4 or 5 o'clock in the morning when the world hasn't awoken yet.
Yeah.
And I heard an owl once that scared the tar out of me. But other than that, it's usually very still and quiet. And when you're running, you don't want to, it's almost like you want to glide through the silence.
Mm-hmm.
And be a part of the silence and become one with the silence, because you don't want to disturb it. Because it's only going to last for a while. And it's at moments like that that you gain clarity. And to me, meditation doesn't necessarily mean that, you know, you have to sit in a monastery or sit on your or kneel down for, you know, 40 minutes with incense. You can do it anywhere simply by bringing your attention to the back. And some people go to the back, and I know I mentioned this to you, and you said, no, you didn't care for that, but you went above.
I do. I go up. Up, almost like to the top of my head, how I imagine it. And for me, when I go there, it's kind of akin to what you said about going on the mountain. I get above the noise. And so for me, I think back, and it's still noisy there for me. So for whatever reason, for me, it works when I think up, like I'm up above it all, and therefore, like the noise is happening below. And so I'm no longer participating in it. But I think the thing that I noticed most about what we both expressed with just our own experiences with meditation, I also had read about it, but I am not, I went through the meditation where they say, you know, I'll breathe in a count of two and breathe out a count of three. And oh, if I had to do that, I would never have stuck with meditation. It became, as David had expressed, a chore, and it became another technique that I was applying, and it was not working for me. I was not quieting my mind. I was counting my breath, and I, you know, that may really work well for others. It did not work for me.
Yeah, it's funny because they say it reduces blood pressure, but I was pretty sure it was going was going on.
Yeah, because I want to jump up. Exactly.
I was literally waiting for parts of me to go splattering all over the wall because it was building up so much inside.
Yeah. This isn't my way. And I think everyone does need to discover what environment do you need to be in where your mind quiets and you just really are in tune with nature and wonderful things and no longer like having that, we call the monkey mind, just rattling on about nonsensical stuff. So finding that unique spot that is for you, whether it is walking or running meditation or sitting meditation, I think it's just really essential, I think, for mental health and for daily wellness.
Yeah, I find that method I was describing where one breath and go to the back, or as you said, basically, you know, go to the back, go above, anywhere other than the front is the moral of the story. And you literally can pull your or your awareness or your focus anywhere other than the front of the body. It is more of a story there. And like you mentioned, running certainly it does it for me also. I think I get so tired,
mm-hmm.
you know, 4 or 5, 6 hours, and, you know, halfway through, three quarters of the way through, you just get so tired that, you know, call it what you will, your higher self, your spirit, your muse, your Tao begins to speak to you.
Mm-hmm.
And it's not like it's something, this grandiose, you know, Morgan Freeman voice coming through.
I wish it was. That would be so cool.
Yeah.
Although we may need medication for that one. I'm not sure.
It's you, and it's your own voice, and it's usually spoken softly and quietly, but it's so impactful and so powerful.
Yes.
And that is where some of the miracles in life begin to happen.
Yes.
So you've been listening to another 9 to 5 show with Lisa Lytle and David Orman. Looking forward to next week.
Thank
Have a
you so
wonderful
much.
time.